You and I back together again on a Thursday, October 20th, 2022 edition of Connecticut Today. I was wondering on the show if critics were right months ago when they warned that the lottery system used to award recreational marijuana licenses was slanted toward major companies. We also talked about some new figures illustrating the impact that inflation is having on the average U.S. family. Little bit of news we have for you in the adult recreational marijuana business here in the state. Now, unless you're a medical marijuana patient, you're still the only ones able to buy marijuana legally in this state. I know there are a lot of you that get on I-91 North or head up, you know, however you can. Maybe you jump on one of those trains that runs from New Haven to Hartford to Springfield, which I never see anybody on. But, hey, I know we have to run it. And you go to Springfield to buy your weed or whatever, your ganja, your spliff, your Mary Jane. What am I missing? Weed, ganja, spliff, Mary Jane, your cookie, your duchy, whatever you want to call it. You still cannot buy it legally for adult use here in the state unless you are a medical marijuana user. And I guess there are, I don't know, what, 50,000 people in the state have some sort of a medical marijuana card. But if you or I just wanted to buy a bag or whatever, you can't do that yet. You can't do that yet. But we're getting closer, but this is a big, not just I told you so. This is not just a big I told you so. This may be a we told you so here. Another good piece of journalism here from Hearst. Winners of the Connecticut cannabis licenses spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to improve their chances in a lottery. Now, remember at the beginning of this, there were two different lottery systems. Remember this? There was the regular lottery where people could put their applications in for, and then there's like seven or eight subcategories. Cultivator, grower, driver, this, that, micro this, macro that. And then there were the licenses for the equity applicants, which were designed to be people from areas that were quote-unquote over-policed or something like that. Okay. And a lot of people said, including myself here, a lot of people said, hey, the lottery system for the big companies is, you know, it's bordering on inherently unfair. Well, what do you mean, Paul? Well, what the Connecticut folks did, and I have calls into a couple of the go-to people that I talk to regarding marijuana policy here. But what Connecticut did is they said, hey, you could make multiple entries here if you want, but the entries are going to be expensive. So what the state did, they did not say, okay, they did not say one entry per person. They didn't. What they said was, or one entry per company, per, you know, big national pot company. So what they said was, you could enter as many times as you want, but it's going to be expensive. Now, when you come right down to it, folks, who's going to have more money? Initially, up front, the common person who wants to get maybe deeply into the marijuana business, or the big maybe national company or big marijuana company that wants to get in on this. And nothing against big companies. Again, nothing against big companies. But sometimes you're sold a little bit of a bill of goods here, right? You're sold a little bit of a bill of goods here that says, oh, the benefits to Connecticut from pot's going to be wonderful. All these local people are going to be involved. Well, some local people are going to be involved. But you got to be careful when you hear that. Hearst reporting here, the businesses that won approval for licenses to grow and sell cannabis in Connecticut spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in total to submit applications to improve their chances of being selected in the lottery. Well, of course they did. The winning applicants for retail and micro-cultivator licenses flooded the lottery system with entries, according to state officials. The retail licenses, for example, Slap Ash LLC. So this, now get this. There's a company in Glastonbury, Slap Ash ASH LLC, which is listed as a Glastonbury company, right? Of the 8,360 social equity lottery applicants, they submitted over 10% of them. 850 in the initial round, and they ultimately won the approval for two licenses. Another company here, what's this? Janani LLC spent over $200,000 to submit more than 800 lottery entries to win approval for a retail license. The company has a business address in Clarksburg, Maryland. Doesn't have a license yet. Social equity applicants not selected in that lottery were able to enter the general lottery. So doesn't this sound to you, and it does to me, this to me, and there were critics of this at the beginning saying, hey, they're going to rig the system to make sure some deep-pocketed companies get in on this. Says here, critics of the system had warned that with unlimited entries allowed, the lottery system would favor multi-state corporations and wealthy individuals. Most license types were awarded through a lottery system, with half, of course, related or reserved rather for equity applicants who applied during a separate lottery. So, I don't know, this thing to me anyway, this thing sniffs to me of being, maybe rigged is a strong word. I probably shouldn't say rigged. But is this another wink and a nod thing? I mean, remember, this was sold to us. This was, and I recognize this from the start. I realize this from the start, right? But this was sold to us as a way to use marijuana that was going to greatly benefit all these people in Connecticut and the people that were wronged and this and the other. But we find out here that, and maybe the word front is a little too extreme too, I don't know. But now you have situations where you have these huge companies. Okay, they had to enter the lottery, wink, wink, wink. But when you allow unlimited lottery entries, is that really fair? And you could say, well, Paul, it's like buying a lottery ticket. Well, no, it's not, because lottery tickets are cheap. Lottery tickets are cheap. You know, the common person can buy one or two, and the guy standing in line in back of them, he may be rich, but, you know, it's still a $1 ticket for him. And he's not going to buy a crazy amount of tickets. But when you make these applications cost a lot of money, is that not a wink and a nod to say, hey, this is open to everybody, but if you have money, come on in, the water's fine. You know, we've talked, over the past several weeks about what's going to drive votes this coming election day in November the 8th, only just a, you know, a couple of weeks and change away right now. And the a lot of the political pundits, both locally and nationally, they were going to ride the abortion train, whether you liked it or not. And even if they kind of maybe, you know, perchance overplay their hand, they were going to do it. If they could underplay their hand, they're going to do it. But again, if you look at some of these numbers that are coming out, not so much of polling, forget the polling right now, but let's just talk about the dollars and cents of all this. And a lot of pundits are like, well, oh my God, you know, how is it that the economy is trumping, no pun intended, preserving democracy? And how is it that, you know, the economy is trumping abortion? And how is it that the economy is trumping transgender issues and LGBTQIP, whatever it is? Well, it's pretty simple. Have you looked at the numbers? Have you looked at the numbers? New estimates. Now, get this. I mean, when we think inflation, yeah, all right, something costs a couple of dollars more, live with it. I have left-leaning friends of mine saying, yeah, okay, gas is a couple of more dollars a gallon, but you can cut back in other areas. Yeah, and I essentially, you know, I've understood that. I've said that for years and months that, you know, the way we spend money, you and I sitting here at 10 after 4 on a Thursday, October 20th, you know, the way you and I spend money, that's completely within our own control. I mean, if we have to save money, if we really, 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 really have to save money, we'll do it. But we'll say, yeah, I'm going to turn over a new leaf tomorrow. I'm going to cook. I'm going to make my coffee at work or at home. I'm not going to drive by my favorite drive-through coffee and donut and bagel joint. Forget it. I'm done with that. And then tomorrow morning, I really want that. I deserve it. Yeah, I deserve it. I work long hours. I deserve that $18 latte that's going to put me in a grave with 4 ounces of pure sugar in it. But even that has its limits. Get this. Listen to this. New estimates from the website NerdWallet, which is becoming a pretty mainstream financial website now, says that due to inflation, the average household, now get this, I didn't even think it was this high, but apparently it is. The average household would have to spend an extra $11,500 this year in order to maintain the same standard of living as in previous years. Yikes. Did you hear that figure? $11,500. You know what that means in political terms? Here's what that means. And this is what people are finally starting to see now reflected in a lot of these national polls. You have a lot of voters saying, yeah, I don't think Trump's a great guy, and, you know, January 6th was a little scary to me. Yeah, you know, some of the people that, you know, these militias, they may not be friends of American democracy. Yeah. Yeah, I don't necessarily love what the Supreme Court did on Roe v. Wade, and, you know, they may get a little extreme on abortion. Yeah. But you know what? Screw this. I'm going to vote the other way if life is suddenly costing me another $11,500 a year. Seriously, that's what it comes down to. We all have our prices, don't we? We all have, gosh darn it, this, I'd go to the mat for a woman's right to choose. Well, no, you won't. No, you wouldn't. You all have, if you're beyond child-rearing age, if you're beyond, you know, having children naturally, if your daughter is, if you are not necessarily in fear that American democracy is going to come crumbling down anytime soon, it's then going to translate to money, because that's all it does. NerdWallet correspondent Elizabeth Renter, R-E-N-T-E-R, explain that how they come up with this figure. Groceries are costing you and I about $100 more a month. Utilities are costing an extra $70 a month. And she goes down this list here. And it's not good. $11,500. $500 more a year. Higher interest rates, that's another thing, too. The Fed, what do we hear today? Well, the Fed's going to raise interest rates even more. Understand what raising interest rates does. Raising interest rates is done to put more of a bite on your finances. $11,500 a year. In 2020, American households spent on average, $61,300. That's for housing, food, entertainment, clothing, transportation. In 2022, once the year is done, that's going to go from $61,300 to $72,900. That's if consumers want to maintain what they call the same standard of living. Now, it's an average. Some people spend more, some people spend less. But that's that. It, now, you may say, hey, that's dumb. The markets will even themselves out. I'm much more concerned about Trump and the militias and the preservation of democracy and the preservation of a woman's right to choose. Okay, I get that. I get that. But when you get, look, if this was $1,000 more a year, $2,000 more a year, I'm not trying to be cavalier here, but if this is $1,000 or $2,000 more a year here, you're like, well, all right, I'll bite the bullet, maybe not take a vacation this year, maybe cut back on eating out, because God, do we spend a lot of money on food. Think about all the money we spend on food. But when you get up in double-digit thousands, I mean, no wonder why they say, and all sides are admitting it now, that money, raw money, I mean, money that comes out of your pocket, again, for basic stuff, is costing you on average, again, that's an average, some more, some less, is costing $11,500 a year more. And how many people sit back at home, right, and they say, geez, where am I going to come up with this? I mean, it's not like everybody can just willingly go out if they don't want to and get another job. I mean, I guess you could. But yeah, this is all spelled out. Gasoline is costing the average family another $210 a month. Your utilities are costing another $70 a month. Your shelter, either your mortgage or your rent, about $120 a month. Groceries, $100 a month. Total living expenses, monthly expenses, at least another $960 a month. How about that? What did I see the other day? A friend of mine, and we all see it in different ways. Think about this. Because we see it in the stuff we like. A friend of mine posted a picture on social media. And is this right? I guess it is. I'm not accusing him of fabricating anything. But he posted a, you know, you buy those, a box of butter, you know, four sticks of butter in a box. And it was $6 and something. He's like, here you go, $6 for butter.
Oh,
imagine that. Butter. $6. Really? Now, the one that really hits home with me, and again, we all feel it in different ways, and I don't mean to be dopey here, but this is what it is, because, you know, each of us has a product or something that you look at, and you say, wow, when did that happen? I like to go to a certain chain restaurant. I don't have to mention what it is, but it's local to me where I live, and you know, I happen to like it. I know the people there. I go usually once a week on Saturday night, watch some games, chew over football, what happened last week, what's going to happen this week, yada, yada, yada. Well, they have a rather nice menu item on their menu, and it's been stable there for years because it's pretty popular. Broiled sirloin tips, which I kind of like. You know, and there's two sizes there. There's kind of the smaller portion, the lunch portion, And then there's the fatso dinner portion. I'm kidding. High protein, no carbs. And the smaller portion that I used to get for like $11 or $12 is $18 now. What? I said, is this because? And my usual waiter said, yeah, it is. We're paying more for everything. I mean, come on. Which, do you have an item or something you buy or something that you've enjoyed for years that you buy or you don't buy anymore? Is there one item for you that you looked at and you went, hey, wait a minute, when did this happen? Is it a food item, something for your car, gas? You know, gas is bouncing back up again.